obviously warm welcome. I do bring you greetings from our church at Friars Green. I nearly said Stockton Heath after Anne being mentioned. That's where I was for many years, but for a number of years now, I've been at Friars Green in the centre of Warrington. We're going to just start with prayer, and then we're going to turn to God's word. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you now, we ask that you would quieten our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, to focus upon you, to hear your word, but not just to be hearers of your word, but doers also. Build us up, Lord. Correct us, encourage us, move us on. Hide your servant behind yourself, I pray. And may your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Ken McDermott. I don't think I've ever been to Roman Road to preach before. I was trying to think whether I've ever been to Roman Road before. I've heard lots of you, but I don't think I've ever been along. So it's been a great experience to come. Our reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start reading at verse 29, and we're going to go on through to chapter 12 and verse 3. So Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in the battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back from the dead, received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and in the caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We continue this morning the study on faith, the wings of faith, and a continuation of the study in Hebrews that you've been doing over recent weeks, I understand, or at least I hope you've been doing in recent weeks. But what is faith? What is faith? Anyone want to sum faith up for us? We could sum it up in the words of Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We're going to come back to that verse. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Because faith for the Christian is far different to the faith that some people exercise when they say, well, have faith, it'll be all right. Have faith and you'll be healed. And they've got no concept of the Lord Jesus. They just think that a positive attitude, faith in nothing, as it were, pays dividends. A positive attitude certainly has some beneficial effects. But when we talk of faith, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith in his faithfulness. It's the ability to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But as we gather together in church this morning, it's nice and warm. It's not too warm. We're in the company of friends. At least in Warrington, it was bright and sunny when I set off. All's fine with the world, isn't it? It's nice to be here in church, gathered together. Or is it? When we're back in our workplaces tomorrow, and it was good to see this time tomorrow being done this morning. When we're back in our workplaces tomorrow, or even at home later today, do we feel differently to that which we feel here in this place? Do we start to lament about the state of the world in which we live in? The pressing difficulties that we face, the injustices that we face, and maybe others that we know face. The pressure of those in the workplace for us to be just like them. Not to really care how we treat others as long as we get through the work or maybe climb the ladder. The fact that others seem to prosper and we do not. Or more than that, that the wicked prosper. That's what seems to happen in this world that we live in, doesn't it? Those who have no regard for others seem to do well. The wicked appear to prosper, and the innocent so often suffer. The innocent so often suffer. This is our world. Noel Richards put it this way. He said, great is the darkness that covers the land. Oppression, injustice, and pain. Nations are slipping in hopeless despair, though many have come in your name. Watching while sanity dies, touched by the madness and lies. And he cries out, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit today. Do you recognize that world? That world covered and filled with darkness. That world where oppression, injustice, and pain are ever present. Do you recognize that world where nations are slipping in hopeless despair? You don't have to look very far, do you? For if we look at Egypt, just this week in the news, we see them slipping further and further in despair. And we watch while sanity dies. And so often we are touched by those madness and lies. And yet, Scripture calls us not to be conformed into the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And these difficulties, present as they are not peculiar to us. They are the same difficulties that people have faced over generation and generation. The Hebrew Christians face similar difficulties, and the writer to the Hebrews encourages them and spurs them on. We're not quite sure who the writer to the Hebrews was. used to be thought to be Paul, but we're not at all certain of that now. But whoever it was, they were a wise person of God, and they spurred the Hebrews on. For the Hebrews knew what it was to be oppressed by those that they lived with. They were being pressured by the Jews that lived all around them to accept the Jewish practice and ritual, to compromise their newfound faith, to water it down. And when they refused to, they were unjustly persecuted. They were even thrown into prison, prosecuted. They had property confiscated. Violence was never far away. And fear was widespread. Does that sound familiar? They're the same issues that we face today in increasing measure. And I believe that in this land here today, as we dare to stand for Christ, we will see increasing persecution. And we will see unfair prosecution. But we stand for Christ all the same. For we live in a broken world. And I believe that God weeps over this world that we live in. But he encourages us, his people, that there is another way. Another way. Psalm 82 talks of God crying out, "How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked?" And he encourages us and he says, "Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." Now, if we need to hear one word today, one encouragement from Scripture, it's that. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Because we are seeing more weak, needy, oppressed in our world today. And they desperately need the Lord. And they desperately need someone to stand in the gap and speak for them. Because they have no voice of their own. They're just undertrod. But how can we do this? It's hopeless, isn't it? It's hopeless. In a hopeless world, we are called to be hopeful people. In a faithless world, we are called to be faithful. How? Well, the writer of the Hebrews points us the right way when in that chapter 11, verse 1, when he says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Because the present reality is not the future or the real reality at all. We can look beyond our present and momentary troubles to the God who saves. To the God who not only redeems, but who equips us to speak for him. And if that isn't enough, he points us to the heroes of faith. The heroes of the past that we've heard mentioned before. I wonder who those heroes are for you. It might be the likes of Clifford, now in glory. People that stood strong and high for the Lord and have encouraged us over time. They can be a tremendous encouragement. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews writes this passage that we share together. He turns round to them and reminds them of their past. He's talking to the people of Israel, to the Hebrew people, believers in Christ as they are. And he says, "By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." Can you put yourself in the position of the Israelites at that time? They just fled from Egypt and they come to a sea. They come to a mighty ocean. And they thought, wow. I wonder how many of them thought, well, God will open the waters. I wonder how many of them thought, well, that's it. We've done it for nothing. We're going to be slaughtered now. But Moses looked to God and trusted him. And God opened those waters in a dramatic way, not only so that the Israelites might find safe passage on dry land, but the Egyptians would be drowned as they tried to follow them. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. As the people of Israel entered the promised land, they found it was a land already occupied. I wonder how many of them turned around and said, "Oh, this is no good. We were coming to the land flowing with milk and honey, but everyone else has got it." And when they came to the likes of the walled city of Jericho, a tremendous stronghold, I wonder what they thought. And yet Joshua, listening to God, said, "What we'll do is we'll walk round each day for 7 days and we'll blow our trumpets. And after 7 days is over, we'll blow our trumpets and we'll give a mighty shout." Doesn't sound like a plan, does it? You've got bricks and mortar in front of you, massive stone walls, and he wants you to march around and blow your trumpets. But that's what God had told him to do. And even before they marched around the walls, Joshua was told that the victory was won. Joshua 6 and verse 2 says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and fighting men.'" That was before they'd even walked around the walls. Joshua saw in his mind's eye that the victory was won. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. This woman, not a rabbi, not a Pharisee, not some great leader, but a prostitute, a fallen woman, found the grace of God there in the Old Testament and welcomed in these spies and gave them protection, and God delivered her. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying, remember when the Lord your God did these things. Take courage. And then he says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And we don't have time, do we? And then, what really encourages me is that this writer's a bit like me. Sometimes I'll say, I've not got time to tell. And then he goes on to tell us anyway. And we're going to go on and have a quick look anyway. He said, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Just have a think about those words for a minute. Do you know, faith can't shut the mouth of lions if you're not in the lion's den. It can't cool the fires unless you're in the furnace. This was God delivering his people out of adversity. And yet sometimes all that we see is the adversity. And we don't see the opportunity to live for God in that present trouble. He goes on, the writer goes on to list those who've received their dead back, raised to life again. Those who were tortured and refused to be released. So these are people who came under persecution, had the opportunity to refute the gospel and to turn back to their old faith or whatever it was. But they refused to do so. They stayed in prison. They refused to be released, so that they might gain the reward that was awaiting for them. Those who faced jeers and flogging while others were chained and put in prison. Those who were stoned, even sawn in two. That's thought to be Isaiah. They think that he met his end under a horrible king that sawed him in two. They were they who were put to death by the sword, who went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. And yet, we count success in having a nice house and a nice car. We count success as having ease in this world in which we live. We need to stand for God. And when the going gets difficult, we need to continue to stand in faith. Sometimes these things hinder us, and we'll touch on that in a second. But these people were more akin to the homeless. These people who were being commended for their faith were more akin to those we see on the street that have absolutely nothing. And yet we look down upon them and say, "You're despised." And we ought not. We ought not. And sometimes when we lift them up, when we minister to them, when we entertain them, we entertain angels without knowing it. And we minister God's grace where it's most needed. These people who wandered in the deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Does this mean their effort was in vain? No, by no means. It means their eyes were on a higher goal. Their eyes were on heaven. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith does not depend upon our present circumstances, but upon the faithful God. And then the theme changes. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Let's glean hope. Let's glean courage from those who have gone before. That picture, how it changes to the race and how those that have gone before become that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. I'm not sure that that actually means that they're in heaven looking down upon us and cheering us on, because I think that they're in heaven more worshipping God. But it is saying to us that those memories, those witnesses that they have left behind can cheer us on. I don't know whether any of you saw the news coverage of Christine Ahorogu this last week at the World Athletic Games in Moscow. Any of you see it? The presenters had written her off. They'd said very early on, you know, "Oh, she's fallen behind." And she came from fifth to win by a nose, 4/1000ths of a second. She kept her sight on the goal. She did not give up. And she won against all odds, throwing off all that hinders. You see, the athlete is disciplined. And sometimes these things that we class as so valuable, the way we hold on to our pretty houses and our cars and our possessions, there's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as they are subordinate to God in your life. And if God turns round to you and says, "Give it away," then you must give it away. Sometimes these earthly possessions hinder. I came across one man who had so many possessions he wouldn't leave home because he was feared that when he walked out of the door, a robber would walk in and steal what he had. He had alarm systems, he had CCTV. he was afraid to leave home, throwing off all that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Please don't get caught in sin. It's a tripwire. It's a spider's web. We think, oh, it won't be so bad if we do just that little thing. And before we know it, we're somewhere we don't want to be. It leads down a slippery slope. But run with perseverance. How? By fixing your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who gave us the best example of all. We've heard the heroes of faith. We've heard how they went through the fiery furnace and all the rest of it. But none went to the cross but for Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Christina Horrigou, I saw an interview with her after her run. And after the interview, she turned round and she said, "We're blessed in order that we can be a blessing to others." I don't know whether she has a Christian faith or not, but those words spoke deeply to me. We are blessed that we might be a blessing to others. We live in a broken world, and yet we are called to bring that hope. Faith is sometimes active achievement. It's breaking through those obstacles and those challenges, but sometimes faith is trusting endurance. It's being hopeful, literally hope-filled in a hopeless world. It's being faithful in a world that struggles to find faith. It's about fixing our eyes upon Jesus and running with perseverance. It's about showing the people outside of these doors that there is a God who loves them and cares for them and can give hope. A God who is faithful when all else are faithless. A God who brings hope when all hope seems to be lost. I encourage you to know the truth of those words. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider these words, we dig into the meat of your word, and we pray that, Lord, over these coming hours and days, you will help us to digest. I pray that, Lord, all from you will go and nourish our bodies and our minds. Anything from me will just fall aside. I pray that, Lord, as we come to this time tomorrow, we will not lament about the state of this world, but we will live for you and shine as your lights, bringing hope to the hopeless. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.